Hello, and welcome to Travel Fun. My name is Mary Beth Clementi, and I am the host of this talk show on travel. And every July, I have a special France program. To me, July and France go together. It's, of course, on July 14th, it's Bastille Day, the national holiday in France, with this a similar significance as our 4th of July. It's also when the Tour de France, one of the world's greatest sporting events, is going strong. And I think it's the month when maybe France is the prettiest. You have lavender fields in bloom and sunflowers, and it's just wonderful. And I thought it would be very appropriate to talk with a woman, Janine Marsh, who has a website blog called The Good Life France. And I came to know Janine through Facebook, and I was drawn in by her beautiful images of France. And one after another just puts you right there and you want to go. And she has a very rich website and blog that we're going to be talking about. I have Janine on the phone from France. I would like to welcome Janine Marsh to Travel Fun. Bonjour, Janine.
Bonjour, Mary Beth. Thank you very much for inviting me. I'm very excited to be speaking to you and all your followers.
Good. Well, tell us about The Good Life France. And along with that story, share your story, how you landed in France and how long you've been there, and about your French farmhouse in northern France.
Okay, well, you can probably tell from my voice that I'm a Londoner, and I've lived and worked in London all of my life. I actually worked for an American bank. I worked for Merrill Lynch. So quite a different story from what I'm living now. I worked long hours. I worked hard. And one day I just decided that I'd had enough and I wanted a change of pace and a chance to enjoy my life before I got too old and lost my way a little bit with working too hard and concentrating too much on earning money. So I bought a rundown farmhouse in France in the middle of nowhere in a rural village, and it had corrugated iron doors, it had dirt floors. You could see the stars through the roof, and that wasn't a good thing because there were huge holes in the roof. And I just decided that I would come out and do it up myself, everything, with my husband. We didn't employ any builders. We just packed everything into the back of our car and our trailer, jumped on the train from London to France, and we started a new life here. I like to keep in touch with all my family and friends back in the UK, and everyone was really excited about what we were doing. There used to be a program on TV in the UK called The Good Life, and it was about a couple who tried to change their life by growing their vegetables and becoming more self-sufficient, and everyone started to say I was like that, the woman on that program. So I started to write a blog about my life, and I called it The Good Life France. It was about my chickens and my garden, and basically it just grew from there. That was 2.5 years ago, and now we have thousands of pages, 30 writers, and it's become an enormous thing that has taken over my life, and it's absolutely brilliant. So that's The Good Life France, and that's how I got here.
That's a lot to accomplish in 2.5 years, and the whole time you were restoring your old farmhouse?
Yes. We had to lay concrete floors, we put new roofs up, and along the way, not only did we restore 21 rooms of an old barn and set up the blog, we also acquired five stray cats, 3 dogs, and 37 birds.
Well, it definitely sounds a lot like rural France, and that's one of the things that's wonderful about France, and also a reason why it's nice to make sure that people get out and explore the countryside. Of course, Paris is the number one destination. However, France is really quite rural, and it looks as though, from the pictures I've seen of you, you live in a beautiful area. Talk about that area a little bit, Janine. It's in northern France, in Pas-de-Calais, And that's, you know, your story is a little Peter Mayle-esque. And he was in sunny Provence, and northern France is known to be very beautiful, bucolic, however, not quite so sunny. So if you'd talk a little bit about that region so people would be familiar with it.
Okay. Where I live is it's Pas-de-Calais. It's the top end of the north of France. And the southerners, the Peter Mayle lot, they call it the North Pole of France. They have an image of my area that when you're driving along the auto route from the south to the north, that when you hit Pas-de-Calais, a curtain of rain falls down on you. But actually, it's very similar to the temperatures that you'd get in London, I would say. It's not that different. And in fact, the journey between the UK and my part of France is 21 miles long. And most people generally go by ferry or by train underground. And it takes about 35 minutes to get from the UK to France. It's the shortest point between them. And in fact, they used to be joined where the cliffs are. The White Cliffs of Dover were once joined to the Grey Cliffs, as they call it here, of France. So it's not that different in terms of climate and geography, but in terms of life, it is a complete world away. They say about this place, there is a saying about Pas-de-Calais, that people cry when they come here from the south because it's cold and it rains, but then they cry when they leave because the people are the friendliest in France and they have a great time. This is a party place, Pas-de-Calais. They love a festival. They have the noisiest carnival in France here, in a place called Dunkirk, which you might have heard of.
Of course.
The war, yes. But thousands and thousands of people turn up and sing in the streets, and it's really, really noisy, but really, really fun. It's a very beautiful place. It's a place that values its heritage and its culture and its traditions above anywhere else I've been in France. And as a member of the British Guild of Travel Writers, I travel all over France all year round, and I haven't been anywhere quite like this for friendliness and welcoming people. It's very nice in that way here.
Oh, good. I'm so glad you're able to talk about that area, because I think the northern part of France is grossly overlooked, and I have discovered many of its charms, so it's nice to hear you speak about it.
Well, I think most people know it for the war. You know, that most people think of this place in Dunkirk and Calais, and of course we're on the border of Picardy, so the Somme. And there is an awful lot of memorial tourism here. And, of course, this year is the centenary of the Great War. So we're expecting a huge influx of visitors. But there's much more to it than that. It's very old towns here and a very strong Flemish influence as well, because obviously this area used to be under the rule of Spain. In fact, Calais was under British rule for 300 years as well. So we have very close ties to the UK and to other parts of Europe as well here. It's quite a cosmopolitan place, really.
I am visiting with Janine Marsh from the website blog thegoodlifefrance.com. And Janine, talk about two or three other regions of France. France has, a lot of people don't realize, over 20 different regions or provinces. And maybe you can talk about a couple of your favorites.
Okay. I actually got back last week from a place called Berry Province, which is in the Loire Valley. And most people will probably have heard of the Chateau de Chenonceau, which is one of the most beautiful chateaus in the area. But actually, it's quite a big area, Berry Province. And it's a very old area. It's full of hills, and it's where Sancerre wine comes from, which you might have heard of.
I love Sancerre.
Do you? Did you know that they make Sancerre red wine as well?
Yes, yes, and it's delicious served chilled, like many of the wines from the Loire Valley. It's funny because a lot of Americans hesitate to chill red wine. They think that that's actually gauche to serve it that way. But in France, the Saumur, the Sancerre, a lot of the wines, just like the Beaujolais from Burgundy region, they are served served chilled.
They make a sauté rosé as well, which
oh, I didn't serve. Love it.
Yeah. You can't get it outside of the area, though, because such a small amount is made. But they were telling me when I went to the museum at sauté that actually America is the biggest importer of sauté wine. You take about 60% of it. It's very popular with you people.
Well, that's funny because you... Oh, the Sancerre Blanc, the white Sancerre.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So you were in the Chateau country of the Loire Valley and also enjoying lots of nice wines and cheeses,
and
I imagine.
And cheese as well. I went to Chavignol, which is where they make the little Crottin de Chavignol, which is... they've been making it since the 16th century there. They're tiny little cylinders of cheese, and I asked the cheesemaker at the farm where I went for a tasting, what does crottin mean? And he says, oh, it's a very old French word, and it's what they used to call the lamps when they lit the cheese cellars. But then his son said to me, you know, it's not really, it means sheep dropping, because they look like sheep's dropping.
Right.
So I don't know if that's true, but I like to think it is, actually.
There's so much history and tradition behind everything in France, and we're talking about centuries worth. What sort of things, with your website blog, do you have a particular style or approach that you'd like to talk about in terms of the storytelling? You have a stable of writers writing for you. And are they mostly British? Are they American? And what's kind of the take?
Well, we have pretty much an expat in every area of France, every region. And in some regions, the bigger regions, we'll obviously have more. So, for instance, we have three or four people that cover Paris for us. And funny enough, all of the Paris ladies are American. So there's a lady called Alicia Kane, and she runs tours, and she's an author. And then I have another lady called Linda Mathieu, who's an author of a Paris tour guide book. And so they will tend to cover the things that are going on in Paris for us, because they're there and they can do it straight away. I actually live about 2 hours from Paris, so very easy for me to get there, and I do whenever I can. But we have a real mix of Australian, French, American, British, New Zealand as well, writers. So people that have all made the move to France, who have fallen in love with their area and are passionate about what they write about and what they see and want to share that with people. And I think that's probably the ethos of the Good Life France. We're about sharing our views and what we see on a daily basis and the best things to do, the best things to see, the secret places that you might not know about if you didn't live there. We want to tell people about those places. So that's what we do.
All right. And always with beautiful photos, wonderful images. Let's talk a little bit about the French and the French mentality. You said how the region that you're in, you found the people are among the friendliest. How would you describe the French mentality and how it differs from, well, the British mentality is different from American. However, you are much more akin to us than the French.
Yes, I think so. Although I do see things changing here. I mean, the French are crazy for American TV programs. NCIS, for instance, and The Mentalist, they are huge here. Everybody loves Abby, you know, from NCIS, and everybody loves Patrick Jane from The Mentalist. And all of the magazines and newspapers here are full of gossip about their favourite American actors. So things are actually changing a little bit, I think. The French have one thing that is quite strange, and I think it's a national characteristic, and that's that they're never wrong, and they never say they don't know. So if you ask a French person the way to somewhere, if they don't know, they'll just make it up. I find that very odd.
Really? I don't remember
yes,
that.
Really true. And we had a problem with our tax for our house. You pay tax on your house here, two taxes. And they screwed up one of the taxes. So I went to see them, and they refused to accept that they'd made a mistake. it just didn't happen. And I had to go back about 10 times. And I kept saying to them, look, it's here in black and white. I can show you. It's right on this piece of paper. And they basically just refused to take it. And then one day I just got a letter out of the blue just saying, we have updated your tax form. But they never accepted there was a mistake. And that's actually a really common thing here. So for anyone coming here, don't expect them to say sorry or to acknowledge they've made a mistake. Just keep going, and eventually things will change, I'll say.
That must be left over from Louis XIV. And, you know, the French, I don't think they've gotten over the fact that they're no longer ruling the world.
Well, here they think they are. So. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I don't mind that. I think it's they're very, you know, patriotic here. I think that's great. Every village you go to has the flag. Every village has a memorial. I love how on the 11th of November every year, the entire village, every village in France will commemorate the end of the First World War, and everyone will go to the memorial, and the mayor will read out the names of those who lost their lives, and then everybody goes off to the town hall for a glass of wine, or a lot more than one glass of wine. But they're very patriotic and deeply caring people, I think.
Yes, and, you know, the beauty that they have created everywhere you go in France, and, you know, as they say, les vieilles pierres, the old stones, they build things to last for centuries. And you do see medieval fortresses and old farmhouses, and people are still living there, and they have beautiful gardens out front. And that's actually one more reason to get into the provinces. I think you know that I have authored a number of books on France, and that's why I often have France as the subject of my radio show. And one thing I discovered when I was doing my book, The Riches of France, A Shopping and Touring Guide to the French Provinces, is that you actually find more ancient or architecture, older buildings in the provinces than you do in Paris. In Paris, you only have a few half-timbered houses near the Marais. And in the provinces, you have tons.
Oh, absolutely. I went to Bourges, which was in the Loire Valley. I'd always assumed that the word bourgeois came from Bourges, but it doesn't actually. It's an old French word that means town. But in this town, even though you've never heard of it, there were more than 500 half-timbered houses, which is quite incredible, isn't it, really? And also one of the oldest chateaus I've been in. It was built in the 1400s by a non-royal. So it was one of the first non-royal palaces ever built by a man called Jacques Coeur, who bankrolled Joan of Arc's armies. And he was arrested for using the fleur-de-lis motif in the castle when he wasn't a royal. And the history in these places is so astonishingly rich. It's quite amazing, isn't it?
It sure is. And, you know, definitely the history is translated to the food, the wine, the cheese, everything.
Have you ever heard of a Charles Quint cake?
Cake?
Charles Quint was a French emperor, and we're going back many, many centuries here. He got gout, and he actually died of gout, the disease, and the French cut off one of his fingers to keep as a relic, sort of thing they used to do in those days. And even to this day, you can buy in the shops at certain times of the year a Charles Quint finger. And it's a cake in the shape of his gouty finger. And I just think, you know, what a crazy story that is, that the history of this emperor from hundreds and hundreds of years ago has transferred into a finger cake that you can buy in the bakers today.
Isn't that something? I love that little anecdote. And indeed, each one of the beautiful cakes, pastries, has a name and a story behind it. I am visiting with Janine Marsh from thegoodlifefrance.com. Janine, it's July, and that means the Tour de France, talking about more than a century-old tradition. And it seems to me that you are a fan of this event, because I've already seen some posts at your website about it. Talk a little bit about it, especially this year. It's extra special. It started in your native land.
It is. It's actually coming through my village tomorrow.
How exciting.
I know. I think that's probably why I'm so excited this year, because our tiny little village is just going to be on the TV, and it's very, you know, we've made arrangements to meet our neighbours there with a picnic, and we're taking chairs there, and I've already picked my spot. There's a Napoleonic chateau in the town, and that's going to be my backdrop, and I'll be posting selfies as the caravans go by. You know that they have the big caravan procession to precede the publicity.
Yes, that gets the crowd warmed up.
Absolutely. There are 600 of them this year, and they'll be giving away 16 million gifts over a period of 3 weeks. So everyone's so excited in the village. It's going to be really fantastic tomorrow. I can't wait to see it.
And the one thing that is, you know, really special, and, you know, people might think, oh, you know, you go and they just zoom by almost like a swarm of bees and that's it. It's not like sitting watching a basketball game or something, but I think it's marvelous to be a part of it up close and personal. You can get really close, especially if you're in a town where the tour arrives or takes off from, departs from there, and you can actually get up close and talk with the cyclists. And also, usually at these events, people have their little portable TVs.
Yes, yeah. And everyone crowds around them. If someone's got one, you can do it. Of course, we've all got iPhones now. So
right.
We can all watch ourselves on our iPhones and our iPads. So that's not happened for me before. And so that'll be quite interesting to see how that's differed from the last time I saw it in France, which was probably 6 years ago, and they weren't so prevalent then.
Right. Well, yeah. You know, just more ways to be connected. I guess it's about everybody being connected and then sharing in the joy together, because it is one big party when you're actually attending it for real.
I think it will be a big party. And we have one little bar in the town, Chez Annie, and we'll all be meeting there afterwards to talk about it, I think. And for the procession, the publicity caravan takes about 45 minutes to go through, and then we have an hour to wait for the cyclists to come through. So I'm fairly sure we'll be going to the bar for a Kir Royale, a sparkling white wine with cassis in to celebrate one bit, and then we'll be going back to wave the cyclists on. I thought about dressing up as a giant tomato so that everyone could see me, you know, from the cameras, but I've been persuaded not to.
That is part of the fun, for sure. And then coming up is Bastille Day. And talk about the significance of Bastille Day in France and how people celebrate it.
Well, Bastille Day is basically to celebrate the storming of the Bastille in Paris, which was the precursor to the whole French Revolution. And these I don't really know why they celebrate it to quite such an extent. I think it's more of a habit than anything. I'm sure the kids know the history, but they don't really go into it thinking, oh, that was the day that, you know, people lost their heads over quite soon after. But there's always fireworks. And if you go to Paris, it's a huge deal with parades and flyovers and the president being around, but actually in little villages like mine as well, we celebrate, and I think probably every village in France will be celebrating with fireworks. In my village, there'll be a barbecue at the back of the town hall. There's only 142 of us, so it's pretty much the whole village turns out, and then we might play boules on the green, which I helped to build. And it's just an opportunity to not have to do anything all day except be friendly to your neighbours and celebrate the fact that we're free, that we have liberty, and we're very lucky people to be in France, I think.
And to celebrate the tricolour, the bleu, blanc, rouge, the blue, white, and red.
Absolutely. Here. I mean, there will be red, white, and blue everywhere here.
Right. You know, I do think that Bastille Day, July 14th, is similar to July 4th in the U.S., except I would say I was surprised when I lived there to discover the amount of military might presence being shown, whether it's on the parade on the Champs-Élysées or in the little villages, the military aspect of things. And I'll never forget one time in Paris. I didn't make it to the parade. I had gone too big the night before, and I slept in. But I did wake up to the rumbling in the streets of Paris, and those were the tanks going by, and that was pretty impressive. Maybe it's because they had experienced war there that they have such a connection to the military and on their national holiday.
It could be. It's one of the rare occasions when you actually see them out on the streets doing that in such a vast number. It's not something you see very often. Certainly in the villages, you will get some of the old boys dressing up with the medals and the firemen as well. You know, they may march through, but actually I think that's more of a, here we are, we're your firemen, and respect for the elders in the village than anything else. I'm not sure it's as much about military, certainly where I am anyway. I think it's more about connecting with people in the village.
I am visiting with Janine Marsh, the founder and chief editor of The Good Life France website, blog. It's a great source of information, not only stories about different destinations in France, but all kinds of other travel information. So do check it out. Janine, we've pretty much run out of time. I will be posting this at my blog, bonjourcolorado.com, as a podcast. And do you have anything you'd like to add?
I think France is a lovely place. If anyone has any questions that they don't know where to find something, or they would like some advice, feel free to contact me via Facebook. And bienvenue. You are welcome.
Ah, très bien. Okay. Well, thank you so much for being a guest on Travel Fun. Have a wonderful time attending the Tour de France, and a happy Bastille Day, a terrific summer. Rest of the summer is one of the nicest times to be in France. And à bientôt, j'espère.
Merci, Marie-Beth, and we look forward to you coming back soon.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Un jour comme un autre, et pourtant tu t'en vas vers une autre, sans me dire un seul mot, et je ne comprends pas, comprends pas. C'est un jour comme un autre, mais nous sommes déjà éloignés l'un de l'autre, de nous deux. Il ne reste que moi, mais pourquoi ? Toi, tu étais pour moi tout ce que j'espérais. Toi, tu étais ma vie, et même un peu plus, tu étais l'amour. C'est un jour comme un autre, et pourtant tu t'en vas. Tu t'en vas vers une autre, sans me dire un seul mot, et je ne comprends pas, comprends pas. C'est un jour comme un autre, mais moi j'ai mal de toi. Moi qui riais des autres, aujourd'hui c'est vous deux qui devez rire de moi, rire de moi. Toi, tu prends à jamais tout ce que j'espérais. Toi, tu me prends la vie, et même un peu plus, tu me prends l'amour. C'est un jour comme un autre, et pourtant tu t'en vas. Et pourtant tu t'en vas. Et pourtant tu t'en vas.